Thanks, Matt. So today is May 4th in what a lot of people in modern culture call Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, right? I grew up with the original trilogy of Star Wars. To me, that's the OG Star Wars, right? And so I'm all into that, sort of, kind of. I haven't seen it for years, but I remember one time in church. See, my kids saw Star Wars when they were sleeping over at their grandparents' place on a weekend. He decided, hey, I'm going to show them the trilogy. I'm like, oh, well, okay, thanks for asking. But anyway, they were quite young. A couple weeks later, we were in church. And the pastor we were with at that time was kind of into some church liturgy. And kind of that responsive liturgy. And so he read out Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord be with you. And everyone responds, and also with you. And one of my daughters looked at me and she said, Dad, that's Star Wars. And it was just this fun moment for us to be able to, you know, this is a force be with you and also with you kind of thing. If you've ever seen Star Wars, if you haven't, it's a good watch. Way ahead of its time. Just to kind of think about, you know, some of those things that when culture invades our church liturgy at times, or our liturgy invades church culture, probably the other way around, because I think that scripture came before culture. So there we go. Anyway, so happy May 4th, Star Wars Day. We got that out of the way. Let's move on to some more important things like the book of Ephesians. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, and just a reminder, a recap, that Ephesians is kind of in three parts. The first part is the work of Christ to reconcile us to God. The second part, which is the part we're at right now, is the unity of all people in the church. And then the third part about it is Christians and how we should live our lives as Christians. It's kind of that last part where we'll end off with the book of Ephesians. And this is going to take us all the way through, I believe, till the end of June or somewhere around there. We will just enjoy each and every chapter and each and every passage that we're going to unpack. And today we're talking about one. How as the body of Christ, how as the church, how churches that we are one. And the whole aspect of unity within the body of Christ, unity in the Christian community. So we're going to read part of chapter 4, particularly the first 10 verses, where they essentially talk about how we are called into valuing unity as a group of Christ followers in order to live and function as one. I'm going to unpack what that looks like after we read through this passage. So Ephesians chapter 4, the first 10 verses, we're going to read from the NIV version. If you have it in front of you, we also have it on the screen. And you can follow along. So Paul is talking about unity and maturity in the body of Christ. And he says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended in this way is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe, or to fill the whole universe. So we're going to focus first on verse 1, where it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You see, there's this aspect that sometimes we neglect within our Christian lives and our Christian journey of developing our faith, maturing in our faith, that we really need to be able to pay attention to and invest in within our lives. And we have this faith journey, and it's kind of like these three different phases within our journey that don't necessarily ever become complete. We've got the beginner. So I kind of in my mind, had this envisioning of, I don't know if you've ever gone downhill skiing. And when you go downhill skiing on like a mountain or a large hill, they have different shapes and different colors of runs. And you've got like the green run. Now, that's the one where you can just kind of coast down and you're probably good. And it's a great run to kind of learn from, right? And then you've got like the blue runs, which are a little bit tougher. You got to pay attention. You got to have some skills. You got to be able to know how to stop, maybe even turn and avoid different obstacles. And then you've got the black diamond runs. Those are ones that I never really got to because it's like, man, those are big moguls. And there's like these big, huge speed bumps. It's like I can't even go fast because I just don't have that kind of skill, right? And I don't even know if those work. I used to snowboard, and so I don't even know if those work on a snowboard. You got to have like some mad skill to be able to do a black diamond run on a snowboard because you've got these big, huge bumps to have to go over, and it's super steep, and it's just intimidating. So anyway, so I kind of look at these are the different phases of our lives. So we've got that beginner aspect of our faith, those green runs of our faith, where we kind of need to just take it easy and just take some time to learn. And this is usually when we've just found Jesus and we're learning the ropes of what it means to be a Christian. We're starting to learn what it means to be in the community of faith. And that's that beginner aspect of our faith journey. And the thing is, we need a lot of guidance at this phase of our faith journey. A lot of guidance, a lot of people speaking into our lives. And we need guidance, obviously, from God. We need guidance from Scripture. We need to learn Scripture. We need to be in prayer and reading and learning. But we also need to learn from others. Because it's important to have others speaking into our lives, particularly at this phase, and to just help us figure out, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? What does God say about this issue in society? What does God say about this issue in my life? And as we move through that, then we get to kind of that intermediate stage where we have these things where, the beginner stage also is kind of that seedling stage where we have this seed, you know, it's gardening season, so you put seeds in the ground. I'm not a gardener, so I might be wrong when I say this, but you put seeds in the ground and you water it, and it's just a seed at that point. And that's that beginner phase. And then you've got the intermediate stage where you've got the little seedling that comes up, right? And you've got a little bit of a plant showing up above the surface, and you're starting to have these roots that dig down into the dirt and have that stability and have that depth of faith. And so you're deepening your walk with God, deepening your faith. And the thing is, in this phase, you still need guidance from God, from Scripture, from other people. But you have a little more of a foundation, a little more roots that are digging deep into the soil and digging deep into your life. And you have some skills that you're able to be able to handle a few more challenges within your life. And your faith is not shaken by those challenges. And you can navigate some of the hardships with your life, but you pull people in to be able to help you do that. You're desperate towards God and you're leaning on God in those hard times. But it's like, well, it's really hard to have faith because why is this so hard? Why is this so challenging? And then you keep moving, you keep moving, you keep moving. And other people are around you and they're helping you through this. And you're continually seeking renewal within your life. That's one of our core values that we have at Grace Point, is seeking the renewal of God within our lives and in our communities. And it's so important for us to keep doing that, to have active spiritual life of digging into Scripture and a life of prayer and a life of being together with other people. That's how we develop renewal within our lives. And it's not a one thing and we're done. It's an ongoing thing within our lives. And then we get to that expert level. And I don't know if you're there. And for me, I'm still journeying towards that. I think that expert level, you like to think, oh, my pastor should be at that expert level. And I think maybe there's some depth. Hopefully there's some depth there. I mean, I don't really question a lot of things. And yet I still analyze things. But when I have hard times, I always go to God. Right. And those are things that's really the sign of when you're at that level of your depth. Your roots are deeper and deeper into your faith and into that foundation that God places within your life and builds within your life. But the thing is, even when you're at that expert level, you still need guidance from God. You need guidance from Scripture and you need guidance from others. And I think when you're at that expert level, you still invite the counsel of wise people speaking into your life. And the thing is, as I've aged, a lot of times I would also always look to some of the older Christians in my life to guide me. But the thing is, the older I get, the closer they are in age to me. And some of those older Christians that I relied upon are no longer with us. And then we've got that hardship of grief and of loss and of change within our lives. But we still need that guidance, continually seeking the renewal of God within our lives. And we have this active spiritual life of scripture, of prayer, having moved through those hardships in life. And yet our faith was not shaken by those hardships. It might have been hard. We might have questioned certain things. We might have questioned God. We might have even blamed God. And that's okay. But we didn't necessarily give up on God. And that expert level takes that long-standing obedience and faithfulness towards God, towards that faith that we have in Jesus, that when all is lost, when the world seems like it is broken, we go to God. We go to God. And that is that faithfulness. That is that expert level of faith that we're working towards. But not only that, but we're moving forward in our faith. And we're helping others move forward in their faith. And the thing about it is it's not a journey. Or it's not a destination, but it's a journey. Because just because you're in an expert level of faith right now doesn't mean you're just going to stay in that and you can be complacent. There's no complacency in that expert level. It's hard work. It's continually renewing your life, continually seeking Jesus within your life, developing meaning within the scriptures. Developing meaning within your faith and your relationship with God, because it's like any other relationship. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And if you don't invest in that relationship, pretty soon you're like, oh, wait a minute. We're strangers. We don't really know each other anymore. And it takes work to get back to knowing each other really well. And so that's that level of faith, that maturing that Paul is talking about, of being mature in our faith and growing in our faith and following Jesus more and more. Each day. Verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity is tricky, isn't it? Because it requires humility. It requires an approach and approaching others with humility. And that humility needs to go both ways in order to develop that unity. And then there's that gentleness, which doesn't always come naturally to us, but it's being kind to one another. And then there's that patience of being slow to speak and listening to one another. Quick to listen, slow to speak. I think I mentioned to you guys at one point, I had some like acid reflux issues during COVID. And I started to lose my voice. And what the doctor prescribed to me was, stop talking. I'm like, I do that for a living. I can't stop talking. He said, well, you've got to stop talking. And I'm like, well, can't you give me a pill? So he gave me some pills, but I didn't take them for very long. And I just kind of changed my diet and things went better. But that's the thing, being slow to speak. I tried to speak less, tried to save my voice for when I really needed it. But it was hard to like do that sometimes, especially when somebody asks you a question. But the thing is, it requires patience and sometimes being that slow to speak. And then there's also this aspect of love. That is the foundation of everything, right? Love is a pretty solid foundation. God is love. God gives us love. God calls us to love. And love is that foundation. And to ask ourselves that when we're not experiencing unity, do I love this person? Do I love these people? And what does it look like to love them? What does it look like to love them more? And those are questions we need to ask ourselves. Because at the foundation of it all is that oneness and that unity, which within the Church of God, this is part of our tradition, the Church of God. Anderson and Yann is the group that we're a part of. And part of the values is that aspect of unity. And yet sometimes it's like there's holiness and then there's unity. And sometimes it gets a little bit confusing because it's fairly complex in our world right now, isn't it? When it comes to unity, it's fairly complex in our world. We've got politics. You get five people in a room, talk about politics, you've got 15 different opinions on one policy, right? We can't agree with ourselves when it comes to politics and policy. It's complex with theology. There's a lot of different theories of theology out there. It's hard to agree. It's hard to have unity. We can't agree on things like human sexuality within our society. There's things like religious freedom, civil rights, racial tensions, social norms, code of conduct is always being questioned and changing. And it's hard to have unity within our faith community, within our church, within other churches, and beyond there. There's billions of Christians in the world and a lot of conflict when it comes down to it. But God calls us to truth and grace. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh," that's Jesus, "and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace and truth. See, sometimes we have a lot of grace, but not a lot of truth. Sometimes we have a lot of truth, but not a lot of grace. And my friends, Matt and Ben Starnke, who have taught me a lot of things, they've kind of outlined on a sort of a grid, and I don't have it up for you, but it's sort of a grid of a grace and truth matrix, they call it. And so they kind of outline different components of this matrix. It has four different aspects. The first aspect would be that if we have high truth, just truth, not a lot of grace, what happens is we have what's called a call-out culture, where there's basically power over people. Because all we have is truth. There's not a lot of grace towards other people. Or sometimes we have like all kinds of grace, which sounds great, but not a lot of truth. And yet Jesus is full of grace and truth. But we're missing that truth aspect within our culture. And what happens is when we have high grace, but not a lot of truth, we have kind of a hangout culture where we just kind of disempower others. We're all kind of feel powerless because there's not a lot of truth to hold on to. And what happens is when we don't have a lot of grace and we don't have a lot of truth, what happens is we have a checked out culture where no one really has any sense of purpose, understanding, grace towards each other. And basically we're withholding power from each other as a community. And that's not healthy either. But what happens is when we have a community, when we have a culture that has both grace and truth, we call that a call-in culture. A call-in. We're called into the work of Christ. And when we're called into the work of Christ, what happens is we feel empowered. And as we feel empowered, we empower others. And there's a balance of power when there's grace in truth and culture. It's not power over. We're empowering each other. And it's this beautiful example of being able to do Christian community in a way that sounds pretty healthy. It sounds pretty wonderful that we're calling each other into the work of Jesus. We're empowering both the beginner Christian and the expert Christian and the intermediate Christian. We all kind of are in this together, helping each other to grow, to be empowered in our walk with Jesus. Friends, that's what unity within the body of Christ looks like. Verse 5 says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So we have this oneness, one Lord. One Lord, that means that we are here for a greater purpose than ourselves. One Lord, one faith. We have faith in that Lord. We have faith in God that motivates us and guides us as a Christian community. We have one baptism. We're going to witness baptism today, and it's really exciting. And I've heard their testimonies, and they're absolutely beautiful of how God has worked in these three people's lives. And you're going to hear that. It's amazing that there's this proclamation that they have that I follow Jesus. This affirmation that I want to follow Jesus the rest of my life. This commitment. I'm here, and I want to let you know that I follow Jesus in a life that is dedicated to Jesus. That God will guide them, that Jesus will guide them in their lives. So one baptism, one Father, one Father who gives us the family traits and values within our Christian community. One Son, the friend with us and helping us, who died for us. And then one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, which is this mysterious force, the counselor, the guide and empowerment within us through God and our faith in Him. Friends, as we know God, as we grow in our faith in Jesus, what happens is there's this oneness that happens. It doesn't mean we agree on everything, but But it does mean that we have this greater purpose that goes beyond our disagreements. And it doesn't mean that we don't speak truth. It doesn't mean that we don't have grace. We want grace and truth. And as we live and lean into grace and truth, there's this oneness that emerges. You see, the thing is, at times, what we experience in Christian community does not express all of these attributes, does it? The unity and the oneness. Sometimes it's like, it feels like there's some conflict. There's some strife. And sometimes that conflict can be an opportunity to deepen our relationships with each other. Or sometimes it's to set boundaries that can allow for greater unity in oneness, maybe with a little bit of distance. And the example would be Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. I don't know if you remember that Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement about John Mark. And it was a sharp disagreement, and they couldn't find common ground on it. And do you know what happened? They parted ways. They went their separate ways. And it doesn't mean that they didn't love each other. It doesn't mean that they didn't have grace and truth towards each other. But what they recognize is we have different ideas. And it might be best if we go our separate ways. And friends, you know what happened in that instance? God blessed those separate ways. Barnabas had fruitful ministry. Paul had fruitful ministry. And it was absolutely beautiful of how it all turned out. And it's this interesting thing that we think that we all need to be together. We all need to be in the same room. We all need to pretend everything's okay. Then sometimes things aren't okay. And some things aren't okay, and that's okay. But is there love? Is there grace towards each other? And it's a little more complex, isn't it? Because love and forgiveness is not always looking like full reconciliation. And maybe that's challenging a little bit, isn't it? Maybe that's challenging. But think about it. If you had somebody in your life who is completely abusive towards you, and you try to work towards reconciliation, and you've got love, and you've got forgiveness, and you've got grace towards them, but maybe it wasn't reciprocated, or maybe there wasn't any change. What happens is, well, maybe there needs to be that reconciliation. It looks like a distance, looks like boundaries is what it might look like. And with those boundaries, you can have forgiveness. You can have that grace towards them, but from a distance. And see, that's how we've gotten all these different denominations. If you go just in Southwest Edmonton, how many churches do we have in Southwest Edmonton? I've never counted. There's a lot of churches. One Lord, one God, one Son, one baptism. They even have different ideas about baptism, some of them, right? How do we reconcile that? Well, we reconcile that by praying for them, for blessing them. We reconcile that by loving them, by, if we've been in conflict with them, forgiving. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we're all going to meet in the same building, because we wouldn't fit, right? And when I meet with colleagues from other churches in this area, one of the things that we agree on is there's enough room for all of us. And we don't talk about the theological differences that we have. We talk about how to love our people that are in our church and how to love our communities and bring more people into our church from our communities, not from each other's churches. We don't agree on that, and we don't do that. But it happens. But really, our purpose is to love the people that we serve as pastors and to love the communities that we live in, that we worship in, and to do that together with our people. You see, love is the foundation, and forgiveness is for others, but it's also for us. And reconciliation is that beautiful thing that we work towards. And we do that through grace and truth as we move forward, as we look to try to seek God's hand, God's guidance in all of it, and to have the wisdom to know what it looks like and what it doesn't look like, and to seek God's guidance in it all. Verse 8, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Now, this is where the chapter, this passage kind of takes a different turn, doesn't it? And here's the thing. Here's how it relates to this whole other aspect of this passage, is that there is one expression of grace towards humankind, that Jesus makes everything even. that Jesus died. And we just went through Easter, through Holy Week, didn't we? Where Jesus died and he rose again. Why did he do it? Because the expression of grace that we could not attain, that we could not get, but we needed. And Jesus brought that for us. So Jesus makes everything possible. Jesus makes everything even. Jesus makes God accessible. Jesus takes us from sinful people who were lost to right, righteous people who are saved. And Jesus was the completion of the grace of God, the story of God loving his people. Friends, we're called into valuing unity as a group of Christ followers in order to live and function as one. At this point, I'd like to invite the candidates and their families to, our baptism candidates and their families to exit so you can get a front row seat to what's going to be happening in the lobby. If this is your first time, we are doing a baptism, but our baptism tank is out in the lobby, which is a little different, but you will see it live streamed here on the screen. So you won't miss anything. You'll get a really good view, but the families are going to get that live view in person. So there's just not room enough for all of us to sit there. So here are some things that we can kind of reflect on throughout this week. First question is, who do you know that seems farther along in their faith than you are? And can you spend time with them? Can you learn from them? Because we all need somebody to kind of speak into our lives and help us grow, don't we? Secondly, what are some steps that you can take to move forward in your faith? And it might be spending more time in scripture or prayer or with other people who are further along in their faith than you are. Thirdly, what attribute of unity do you resonate with most? Is it humility, gentleness, patience, love, or just simply unity as a whole? Number four, which is the most challenging one for you? So which one comes naturally to you? Which one is more challenging for you as you pursue unity and oneness in the body of Christ? And how do you see and experience the oneness of God's people? Is it a challenge for you to be able to see that? And how can you help speak into it? And finally, what are some ways that you can increase the oneness of God's people in your own life and in the lives of those around you? Let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you for these words in the book of Ephesians that give us this challenge, this understanding, and this way of seeing that, God, you are a God of love. You're a God of unity. You're a God of oneness. And Lord, as we live our lives in community, Lord, help us to be sensitive to living in grace and truth, following the example of Jesus. So that, God, we can be closer to you. Because, Lord, sometimes we step away from that. All of us do, God. None of us has this fully figured out, but you do. So, Lord, I ask that you would help us to have wisdom. Help us to be guided by your Holy Spirit as we lean towards unity and oneness as the body. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Felicia Shaniwa. I was born into Christianity. My grandparents were Christians, and so were my parents. But having said that, I do not have a time where I can say this is the time that I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. But I will put that time for 2018. 2018, my mom's cancer was back, and it was stage 4. Nothing much that could be done. She passed away August of that same year, and I was struggling with grief, wrestling with so many questions on why. I then emailed Grace Point, and Pastor Luann responded to my email. I went in to see her. She read Bible verses for me, comforted me, and gave me peace during this difficult time. I continued to meet up with her. and started coming to Grace Point on a regular basis. This time I was scared, but it's a time where I read the Bible, I prayed, I started seeing life and Jesus in a different lens, because I was going directly to the source. This is the time when I accepted Jesus into my life. Although all my life I've been a Christian, churchgoer, I say to Jesus, you are my personal savior. I have you now. Why did I choose to be baptized at this time? It's the right time. I've been contemplating on baptism for a while, going back and forth. Should I? Should I not? And yes, I should. Because when I was baptized, when I was a baby, that was my parents declaring their faith. And this time it's me declaring my faith and accepting Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And saying bye to the old me and yes to the new me, who follows, obeys the Ten Commandments, and looks up to Jesus as the provider and my savior. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. I grew up reciting this verse in Sunday school. And to be quite frank, at that time, it was just one other verse to recite. But now it means a lot to me. It told me, no matter what, be it in good times or bad times, I put my trust in God and Jesus. As much as life might turn and take me through trials and tribulations, I still put my trust in Jesus. He's my provider. He's my answers to every question and everything that I need. This verse has stayed with me since I was a little girl. It continues to guide me and strengthen my faith. It removes fear in me because I trust in God and Jesus. It brings peace to my heart. And that is the reason why I chose this verse.
God brought you, and I'm so thankful for everybody that has met you, and has been with you, and I'm so honored to baptize you today. So based on your profession of faith, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy
Beth Remick. Growing up, I called myself a Christian, but didn't really live it out. I wasn't going to church much, and I didn't have a real relationship with God. In grade 6 to 8, I went through a really dark time. I struggled with depression and stopped going outside for weeks, sometimes months. In grade 9 and 10, I met some really good friends who were also Christian, and just being around them helped me so much and impacted me for the better. As I started feeling happier, I started going to church more often, and eventually, I went consistently. I realized what it means to be a Christian, and it's not a label, but a real relationship. I saw God had been with me all that time, even though I didn't feel like it, and I want to commit my life to Jesus. I want to be baptized because I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus. Even though the decision is personal, I want it to be a public declaration of my faith. To me, baptism represents a fresh start, leaving my old life behind and starting new with Jesus. I chose the scripture, Galatians 3:26-27. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. It means when you get baptized, you're covered with Christ, and it's significant to me because that's what I want for myself.
thanks for sharing your story with us. It is awesome to see how God has worked in your life. And because of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
At Youth Bible Camp 2 years ago. I did this because at Youth Camp you find so many people who have found Jesus and people who are looking for Him. I was part of the ones that were looking for Him. I remember the first week there. We played games and we had worship services every day. The worships were my first personal favorite. But once the services were done and camp was almost over, I felt something lift from my heart. That was the anger I had towards my dad. Baptism to me means a public declaration of a symbolic way that I'm choosing to follow in the footsteps of Christ. The verse I chose is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. What this means to me is that no matter what plans I have for myself, the Lord always has something better for me, and whatever it is, I will follow in that step, and hopefully it guides me to a better place.
Brian, thank you for sharing with us how God has worked in your life, and it's such a wonderful way to be able to hear how things like camp ministry, just how God can heal some of your wounds that you have within your life, in your story, even though you're a young guy, very tall, but young guy. And so, Brian, because of your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.